Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
I do a lot of inner healing ministry, and in all the years that I've been doing it and all the thousands, literally, of hours that I've put into that, and as a pastor, I find that love is the most misunderstood concept that we have as Christians. Love, so few of us have been loved well. There's people in our life that lives that are like parents or teachers or siblings or aunts and uncles. The list goes on and on. Everybody's wounded, right? So you have wounded people raising wounded children, and in that we love imperfectly. So we come. So we grow up with a perverted view of what love looks like. Even in the best of family, I would like to think that my children didn't have that, but they did. And I tried hard. You know, you try hard to be the best parent or the best and give that love unconditionally, but it ends up that we wound others because we're wounded. This is what the Lord shared with me, a number A there in your sheets. I'm not sure if they're running more off or what. Chris, could you look into that, please? In the highlighted part there, it says, love is a heart connection with unconditional acceptance and genuine compassion, which recognizes and honors the value of a person. That's what it is. Love gives us value. We feel value when we feel that we're loved. And when that love looks perverted or imperfect, or it wounds us, then our value feels less and less and less. Is that not true, or am I the only one that's ever felt that? It's true. When you're loved well, you feel happy and valuable. It's easy in that place to know that God loves you, and you can accept that love easier if you're feeling in a good place. Does anybody else need there? I think we found a few. Anybody else need a sheet? All right, good. We place our value on that feeling of being loved. When that's not there, or it's perverted, or it comes out as looking like something else other than what God intended, it affects the value that we feel. It's a distortion of love. And when the enemy can distort love, because God is love, right? He's going to come and, right when we're conceived, he wants to distort that view of love. So if you stop and think about that, God, Father God, breathed you. He like thought of you. He's up there in heaven. And he's sitting on his throne. And he's like, oh, I love the thought of Big Dan. You know, I'm just going to breathe him into existence, because I'm going to put all of this into his spirit. And God's like a father, and he has hopes and dreams for each one of you. His hopes and dreams and talents and gifts that he's put in you. And you're created in perfect love. He is love. God is love. And so he creates you out of that heart of love. And so your little spirit flies down here to earth. And suddenly, you're in a whole different environment. And that doesn't feel quite like it felt up there. Right? So all of a sudden, you're in a place where it's imperfect. Love is now imperfect. And we will do all we can to to try and make sense of that. The enemy will do all he can to try and pervert love. He does not want you to know love. If he can pervert it, then he has created a big victory. He's gotten a big victory, because we will judge everything out of that place. Everything that happens to us and around us, how we express love to others, will all be affected by how we accept and receive and think about love. We tend to judge love by our personal experiences, for good or for bad. So if your parents, like say your parents were very dysfunctional, I'm going to give you a bad scenario. Say your parents were very dysfunctional. They didn't know how to love. They weren't loved themselves, and they weren't walking with the Lord. And so you were abused, or you were given up for adoption, or you were, for some reason, or, you know, a bad thing, like you had a bad childhood that was anything but peaceful and loving. In that place, you're going to grow up thinking, I'm not loved, I'm unworthy, I have no value, there's no hope. You lose hope when you're not loved. And so you're going to start doing things to fill it, to try and fill that empty void in your heart. Because it's not meant to be empty. It's meant to be full of love. And when that love isn't there, when it looks differently than what it was meant to be, you're going to have to figure out what to do with that. And so your mind and emotions try to make sense of it, and the sense is perverted because now you're wounded, and it creates this cycle. I just want to read this scripture in Ephesians to you. How we receive and give love is reflective of our heart understanding. The way your heart understands love is how you're going to give it or receive it. And if that's perverted, if it's, and it is in all of us, none of us are loved perfectly. There's some level of perversion or pollution or whatever you want to call it. However that has happened in you is the way you're going to receive and give love to others, even God, to your own children, to your spouses, to your friends, to your sibling, to everybody. You're going to relate to them from that level of understanding. In Ephesians 3:16. Yeah, I'm glad we have a lot of time because I have a lot of scripture to read. May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling in your inmost being and personality. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down and abide, and make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love, what is the breadth and length and height and depth of it. God wants us to be rooted and grounded deep in the, like, his love is a well. We'll never plumb the depths of it. Can you imagine throughout all eternity we're always going to be sinking deeper and deeper into that love? But we can start getting into that well now. And all that perversion that the enemy's put in, you know, tried to do in us, in our thinking and our understanding of love, because of our experiences, God has the power to turn that around. To turn that around and right our thinking and understanding. To take it from lies and woundedness and perversion and distortion and turn it around and set it in the right place, the way he fully intended for you to be loved, because he intended for you to be loved well. That was his intent. His intention when he set up the earth was that you would be loved well, that we would love each other well. That you may have the power and be strong to comprehend, to apprehend and grasp That's to lay a hold of this love with all the saints. What is the breadth and length and height and depth of it? There is nothing stronger and more powerful, deeper or higher, has more authority, or there's nothing greater than God's love. I want you all to have a love connection tonight. I kept hearing that word all day, a love connection. And as I'm reading scriptures to you, I want you to eat them. Position your heart. You know, we get afraid of love because love hurts. A lot of you have been hurt by people that were supposed to love you. And God wants, He wants to turn that around and give you the truth about love. Let's position our hearts in such a way that when the scriptures are read, the power of the word penetrates your heart and you can receive it. Not just put it into your head as more knowledge. We have that knowledge. Yes, God loves us. We're loved by God. Woohoo. No, you want to feel it. You want to feel, I feel God's love. I feel His love. I live in that place of abiding in His love. I used to be like flatlined. And when I started this journey of inner healing and reading, getting in the Word and reading and eating and having God as my, like abiding in Him and embracing. So I did what this says, to embrace it. to apprehend it, that you know you got to chase it. It's chasing you. Run and meet it. Don't run from it. And that's what we do when we've been hurt by love. We run from it because in our human experience, it looks not so nice. It doesn't look faithful. It doesn't look kind. Doesn't always, you can't trust it. But God's not a human. Not a human that He should sin. He's not imperfect. He is perfect. Number 19, verse 19. That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourself. He wants you to experience His love. The love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. Knowledge is without experience, right? God wants you to experience His love, and you can. It's real. It's tangible. That you may be filled through all your being. How would it feel to have your whole being filled with the love of God and feel that running out of you? Like you want to explode. Unto that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God. He's full because He's full of love. May have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. How amazing is that? Have you thought about that? That you can be so full of God? That, like, to the fullness, that there would be nothing else in you but that love. That's what you were created for, to be a love carrier. Number C there, this fullness of love creates a feeling of acceptance and well-being. And that's what every human spirit longs for. We long for acceptance and well-being. You know, in Isaiah 53:5, it says that Jesus, one of the things that He paid for on the cross was He paid the punishment for our well-being. He took the punishment for our well-being so that you can have peace and well-being. So it's already paid for. It's already done. We just need to apprehend it, accept it, and receive it. This deep heart connection with Papa is the only thing that will bring peace and give value to our existence. It's already there. You already have value, but we don't know it because we don't know how to receive the truth of it, the truth of love. And when we receive love, we can know that we're valuable it will come together. Suddenly you will know that you're not worthless, you're not unworthy, you're not less than, you're not alone, that you are fully, completely, totally, without reservation, without hesitation, without any thing that could hinder God's love for you. He loves you with a passion that only needs to be accepted and received. There's no doubt in his mind that you are worthy of his love. He paid a great price. You can't earn it. It's unconditional. It just is. God exists. He is love. His love exists. It originates with him. Love originates with him. And so it just is. And we need to know how to grab it, apprehend it, and receive it. When we do not have this heart understanding, we will desperately search for something to fill the void in our hearts. As a result, we become self-focused. When we start reaching out for things other than God to fill that love place, that place that was our heart that was meant to feel love, we'll start becoming self-focused. In that place, we want to self-protect. We want to self-comfort. We want to self-elevate. We're going to do all kinds of self things. Well, that's why we reach for pornography, or that's why we reach for food to self-comfort, or drugs, or alcohol, or whatever it is. We reach for anger. Anger makes us feel powerful. It's a self-elevating thing. We reach for gossip. Gossip is self-elevating. It raises you up, puts the other person down, and you feel vindicated or better, or, you know. So we'll reach for those selfish things. If we're not filled with love, we're going to reach for something to fill it. It has to be filled. We can't be empty. Our heart doesn't want to be empty, and so it's going to reach for whatever the enemy's sitting there trying to hand you the counterfeit. It's all counterfeit. It's all deception. To try and make us feel value and worth. That's what it's all for. Even when we're feeling worthless, we'll reach for something unhealthy to numb it and make us feel valuable. It all comes back to that, trying to fill the self, the empty self. In 1 John 4, it says, Beloved, this is on page 2. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is. It springs from God. And he who loves his fellow men is begotten and born of God and is coming progressively to know and understand God, to perceive and recognize and get a better and clearer knowledge of him. He who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and never did know him, for God is love. And this is the love of God that was made manifest, displayed, where we are concerned, in that God sent his Son, the only begotten or unique Son, into the world that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a perpetuation and the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God loved us so very much, we also ought to love one another. No man has at any time yet seen God, but if we love one another, God abides and lives and remains in us, and his love, that love which is essentially his, is brought to completion. to its full maturity and runs its full course is perfected in us. Love can be perfected in you so that you love. That's your default. We want to change our default from getting self-justifying or arguing or lying or gossiping or anger or those things that are our now default in some of us. We want to change that default to, I just love you. Doesn't matter what you've done to me. I just love you, you know? And that feels weak. That feels like you're weak and you're letting somebody get away with everything, and you're not standing up for yourself. You're not strong. Or, you know, the enemy's going to tell you all kinds of things. But Jesus, what did he do on the cross? He didn't say a word except, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't defend himself. He just loved. And look what love bought. Our salvation for eternity, for the whole world, past, present, and future. That's the power of love. And you hold that in you. If you've got Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you hold that love, that power to redeem another person, to set them free, to pray for them, to cast out the demons, to raise the sick, to raise the dead, to heal, to redeem, to restore a heart, to set a heart in a right place. You have that power that lives within you. That's why it needs turned on. That's why it needs to be set in its right place. That's why we need to look with eyes of love so that we see the value in another person and we can raise that up. And not be focused on their imperfections, because that's not who they are. That's just flesh. We want to see the value, who Jesus really created them to be, and pull that out of them and raise them up, empower them to be who they truly are. That's the power that is in with every one of you. To see and raise up another person to look like Jesus. And be free of the schemes of the enemy. Verse 13. Thank you. By this we have come to know, perceive, and recognize, and understand that we abide, live, and remain in him, and him in us, because he has given, imparted to us of his Holy Spirit. And besides, we ourselves had seen, have deliberately and steadfastly contemplated, and bear witness that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. Anyone who confesses and acknowledges, owns that Jesus is the Son of God, abides, lives, and makes his home in him. He abides and lives and makes his home in God. Do we live our lives like we are the home of God? Everything that you do and everything that you say, he sees. Everything. Nothing is hidden. Every once in a while, I have somebody come for a session, and they're afraid to confess something to me because they don't want to say it in front of God. Like, because they know he's in that session. And I get that. Because when we speak something out loud, all of a sudden we feel very exposed. But honestly, we're very exposed all the time. Because God's, you know, he looks at the heart, right? And so he loves your heart. And he loves it when you're going to expose yourself. Because then things that are hidden become powerless. Things that are hidden are strong. It's a stronghold. But when they become exposed, they lose their power. That's when you can get healing. Number 16, we know and understand and recognize and are conscious of by observation and by experience and believe, adhere to and put faith in and rely on. That's a lot on the love of God that he cherishes for us. God is love, And he who dwells and continues in love dwells and continues in God, and God dwells and continues in him. That's a lot of dwelling and continuing. That's where we need to be. That's abiding. It's the dwelling and continuing. It's not the 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there. We need to live our lives so that we're always conscious and aware of God's presence in us and through us. That's why, well, I'm going to get ahead of myself if I do that. 18. I'm sorry, 17. In this union and communion with him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment with assurance and boldness to face him, because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we. You have the power to be just like Jesus in this world. As he is, so you are. That's why we need to get the revelation of love, that we are loved and accepted before we can love and accept ourselves and another. There's too much self-hatred going around. There's too much self-rejection. I used to have a lot of that, honestly. A lot of self-rejection, a lot of not liking myself. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not this and that, and all the I'm nots and I can'ts and I should'ves and could'ves. All that regret and stuff, that has to go. You can't live in that place. You will not be able to accept yourself the way Jesus accepts you. And if you can't accept yourself the way Jesus accepts you and loves you, it's impossible to love another and accept them and love them the way Jesus loves you. And that's what we're commanded to do. You have the power to be Jesus to another person. What did he do? What did he do? Okay, you can't die for people's sins. That's where the line's drawn. But what else did Jesus do? He healed the sick. He loved people. He set their hearts right. He set the oppressed free. He restored them. He gave them value and worth. He called them into their destinies. He fed them and clothed them. He spoke words of encouragement. He gave hope and joy. You have the power to do all of those things. That's far more powerful than being angry and cutting somebody down, being judgmental and critical in order to self-elevate. You make yourself feel good for 5 minutes. And then you feel awful because of what you just done. The love of God is unconditional. And that's the way we need to love people. I don't do this perfectly, so I'm not judging you. God's been speaking to me about this for a long time. And I have to tell you, I have to talk to you about what he's talking to me about, or it means nothing. It's just more information. Love is powerful. And you need to wield that power in love, in humility. You need to grasp it and attain it and apprehend it in order to wield it. You can't set somebody free when you're in bondage. You can't give away what you don't have. And if you want to walk in your destiny, it's not about signs and wonders. It's not about performing. You know, I love it when people get healed. I love it. It was awesome when I got gold teeth instantly. It's like, okay, that's so fun, but that won't sustain me. Healing won't sustain a person relationally with God. It's a testimony. It screams of his love and his compassion, but it won't sustain them. Only receiving the revelation of love in your heart, only that will sustain you. Only that will grow you. Only that will propel you into your destiny. If you put destiny before love, then you might walk in it to a degree. But when Jesus says, when you face me in heaven, I'll say, I never knew you. Even if you do all those things, he's not going to know you if you don't know him in love. That has to come first. And when you love somebody first and you love yourself, then those things, you do it to his glory and not your own. We're all about destiny, but we want our destinies to be to his glory and not our own. There is, number 18, there is no fear in love. Dread does not exist, but full-grown, complete, and perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. So he who's afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, has not yet grown into love's perfection. Love is a process. So if you have some fear, it's okay. It's okay. He'll get you there. But keep going, walking in the process. Don't let fear grip you and keep you from going. I have people sometimes, you know, I'm pretty radical with God, and I'll just say when I'm praying to him, I want you to expose me. Fillet me. Expose me. Put your fire on me. Judge my heart. I don't care. I don't care, because I don't want anything between him and me. I know it's not worth it to me. My little bits of flesh are stinky and ugly. They smell. I don't want them. I want pure connection, heart connection with God. And so in that place, I have people go, oh, Londa, gee, be careful what you're saying, you know, because he's going to come down. You could really get hurt there, because God can, and I'm like, no, not my God. And even if he does it publicly, I don't care. What, you know, my reputation is of no account. Honestly, I don't live for that. I live for the heart connection, and I'll pay the price to get there. I want that process, and I want it speeded up. I'll go for it. Go for it. You don't have to fear God. When you're like that with him, he's gentle. It's like, I don't have to discipline this one. I don't have to be stronger with her, because she's already there. You know, be there. Don't be afraid of it. He's not mean. He's good. He's for your success. He wants to raise you up. He wants to give you value and worth. He's not going to tear you down. He'll convict, but he doesn't condemn. It's a difference. Let him convict you. Just hurts for a little bit till you give it to him, and then it's all awesome, peaceful. 19, we love him because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates, detests, and abominates his brother in Christ, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. That's pretty blunt. I didn't write that. It's pretty blunt. We need to take verses like that and really examine ourselves. Do you have anger towards somebody? Do you hate somebody that is your brother? Do you hold unforgiveness? You need to forgive and let it go. It's not worth holding on to. It's not. Are you angry at your father for the way he treated you? Are you angry for an ex-spouse, or at your spouse, or at a friend that's hurt you? Are you holding a list of wrongs done to you? It's not worth holding on to that. Give it to Jesus. He knows what to do with it. Number 21, and this command we have from him, that he who loves God shall love his brother also. We are commanded to love, because love is Jesus. And if you're going to say that you're a Christian, you need to love. There's no excuse not to. And we can't hide that from God because he sees the heart. So you can't profess to love and be a Christian and treat or hold things like that in your heart that are against God. Now he'll weed those things out of you. And when he flushes them up, let him. Don't fight it. You don't have to hold on to that stuff. It serves you no earthly good. Number D there. The way in which we treat our fellow man is an expression at the heart level by which we approach God. It is. The way we treat each other at the heart level is what's in us. That's what's coming out. And that's the way we look at God. When you're squeezed, what's in there is going to come out. You can talk the talk and look like you're walking the walk. But when you're squeezed, that pus is going to come out. That's the proof in the pudding, or whatever that phrase is. That squeezing is what I welcome. Squeeze me. Nobody likes to be squeezed, and I don't either, but squeeze me, God, because I want to see what comes out, and I want you to examine it, and I want you to heal whatever's not of you. Seriously. If the heart of Papa is in us, we will be an expression of love in action, guided by wisdom, clothed in righteousness. You will. If the heart of God is really in there, if you have embraced love, you will be an expression of love in action, guided by wisdom, clothed in righteousness. How we live out love at the heart level is evidence of our heart health. In Corinthians 13, 1-7, if I can speak in the tongues of men, even of angels, but have not love, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all the secret truths and mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains but not have the love of God's love in me, I am nothing, a useless nobody. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned in order that I may glory, but I have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. That's pretty straightforward. You can do ministry all day long and all night long. If you have not God's love in you, it means nothing. Nothing. It doesn't impress God. You can't earn his love. And we make a mockery sometimes of Christianity. Chris, can you bring me my phone, please? I just read something today that was very, troubling. And I took a picture of it on my phone because I don't know how else to do it. Thanks. I just want to read this to you real quick. Charisma News previously reported that 70% of pastors constantly fight depression. 71% are burned out. Meanwhile, 72% of pastors say they only study the Bible when they're preparing sermons. 80% believe pastoral ministry has negatively affected their families, and 70% say they don't have a close friend. So take the pastor out of it, and I doubt that there's much difference between them and us. I think that it might even go a bit higher. That doesn't sustain relationship. That's why they're burned out, That's why their families are affected. That's why they're struggling with life, because they're not in relationship with God. Doesn't mean they don't love Him at an entry level, or that they're going to hell or anything like that. It just means there's not a depth of relationship there to sustain ministry, to sustain healing and healing hearts and touching lives and pastoring a church. So even in your own sphere of influence, if you don't have that depth in you, at some level, at some point in your life, when you're busy with everything else going on around you, you're going to burn out. You're going to struggle. Your family's the same thing's going to happen if you don't have that relationship. So verse 4 on page 4, love endures long. It is patient and kind. Love never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy. Love is not boastful or vainglorious. It does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited. It is not rude, and it does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready and believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything. It's supernatural. You see that? It's supernatural. We humans, on our own ability to love, we can't get it to that level. Except God in us, and that indwelling spirit and the revelation of love in us expresses itself to this degree. Every one of you have that capacity to walk in that revelation of love. That's powerful. Only when we can trust Jesus as the manifest expression of the love of God will we begin to allow Him to strip us of all our defenses, which look like the self-comfort, self-protection, self-elevation, etc. Then we will be free to embrace His unconditional love for us. And so faith, hope, love abide. Love, true affection for God and man, growing out of God's love for us. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Love is truly expressed in the laying down of selfishness in order to devote oneself to the well-being of another. Our world would look much differently if we could let go of our perverted view of love and boldly embrace the pure, unconditional love of God. To Him, for us, and for each other. For as Christians, we are all one in Christ. And to love my sister or brother is to love myself, is to love God, is to love. And it goes on and on and on. Love multiplies. Love doesn't die. Real love in action will multiply. It plants seeds. I'm going to have Michael sing us a love song, and I'd like you, if you'd like to have a love connection with God, I know you all have one at some degree, but if you'd like a breakthrough in that area, I invite you to come forward. forward and make a little room for the guys behind you.
Jesus, falling in love.
Open your hearts up. Open your hearts up.
Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing that I have done. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus.
Start giving him everything that is resistant to love. All the negative feelings that you have about yourself or other people. If you're holding anger, choose to forgive. If you're holding self-worthless, like you feel worthless, choose to give that to Jesus. It's a lie. If you're holding insecurity, like not feeling valuable or worthy, just lay it on the altar. Lay those negative, every negative thought, lay it on the altar. Confess it.
Falling in love with
Jesus. Invite the healing team to come and start praying for people.
With Jesus, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing that I ever done. Lord, I love you, I love you, I love you, Lord, today, because you care. Such a special way, Lord, I praise you, I lift you up, and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise.
I just feel like the Lord is talking to some of the men here. When you grew up, you were taught that your emotional heart, you were taught not to cry. You were taught to stuff everything in, and that's what a man was. You were taught not to let your heart be open and to share vulnerable emotions. And I just feel like there's some of you right now that the Lord wants to deal with that right now. He wants you to understand what a man is from his perspective. And that's one fully dependent on him. And so if that fits you, just turn that over to the Lord. Just tell the Lord you don't want, you know, it might have been your daddy, your earthly father that even beat you until you quit crying. You might have had a sensitive heart and it was shut down by adults and people you loved. And I just feel like the Lord wants to open those places up tonight. And he wants you to teach you in your journey with him what he sees a man is.
I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you. Withholding nothing, I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you, withholding nothing. myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. Give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
Give myself away so you can use me. Give myself away.
An area that you feel resistant, like having trouble receiving from the Lord, I want you to lay that on the altar if you feel like something's hindering that connection. Sometimes we don't know how to connect with the Lord, so if you feel like you have trouble connecting with His love, I want you to just to lay, like if it's pride, if it's sin, if it's doubt, fear, whatever it is that you feel like would hinder, shame, anything, lay that on the altar and just confess it to the Lord. I have used fear to self-protect. Fear is always self-protection. God, I've used fear to self-protect, or I'm not sure. I have doubts. Doubt will cause you to self-protect. Lay those things, any hindrance that you feel, on the altar in front of Jesus, and just confess it and give it to Him. And Lord, as they do that, God, I ask that you just wash that clean. And as you take it, God, you never leave us empty. What do you want them to have in exchange? This is where you have to listen. To listen.
We bow down, we lay our crown at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love is at the feet of Jesus. As we bow down and lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus, the greatness of mercy and love is at the feet of Jesus.
I feel like somebody has a shoulder that has problems. If you have problems in your shoulder, is there a right shoulder actually? Is there anybody that has that issue? There's two right here. You want to go over there with Dave and he'll take care of you. Okay, I'm also hearing kidney. Anybody have kidney issues? Did I see a? Was that a? No. Anybody have kidney issues? Do you come on up here? If you have kidney issues. Debbie does, and here's another one. Rochelle? Do you mind me pulling on you? So, Debbie, could you move over here, please? And this man right there, kidney? Were you up here for kidney? Shoulder. Okay. Those two need praying for shoulder. The man in the white shirt and that man right there. Would you mind? Okay. I'm also here. I see the lower spine in the back. Does anybody have? Anybody have a disc out or in the lower spine? Awesome. Chris, could you pray for her? Here's another one coming. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody has like carpal tunnel or something like that? Something in your wrist? Anybody have that? Debbie? Okay. No? It was the right shoulder. Awesome. What? I embarrassed you? Oh, I'm sorry. I wanted you to have room for her to pray for you. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to embarrass you. Thank you. other physical problems that you'd like prayed for, we just had a healing right here. I'm sure there have been others. Anybody having headaches? I just feel like headaches. Like migraines, a history of migraine, or migraines. Not that you have one right now, but that you have them occasionally. No? Do you have any other things that you'd like prayed for, physical, emotional, or spiritual, just feel free to come. Otherwise, I bless your evening, and thanks for coming out.